a story,
Kelsey.
Tell you a story?
Tell me a story.
Can I tell you one that's sort of frustrating and kind of sad?
I mean, that's pretty much what's going to be our content, so yes. I'm not reading, by the way. I'm just kind of...
You're looking.
I'm like gazing into the abyss, okay. Readying my mind.
You're not allowed to look at my notes, okay?
I'm not.
Because... Well, because it's a secret until I tell you. And then it's
I feel like that's something we probably should have clarified, too.
What? Mm.
That I'm just in as much in the dark as everyone else.
Oh, surprise, guys.
Yeah, I don't know anything she's about to tell me. Basically, how our process goes is we each pick a case. We give each other the name of that case, and we stay as far away from that case as possible. Each other's cases, not our own case. That wouldn't make much sense. So she gave me a name, and I stayed far away from it, and now she's going to tell all of us.
Yeah, so we all learn at the same time, sort of.
There is no script, so, you know, it's just going to be me reacting in real time. There might be some stupid reactions. I'm sorry, and I'm also not sorry at the same time.
Right. All right, so today we're going to be talking about the disappearance of 20-year-old Elijah Bear Diaz from El Cajon, California. I think that's how you say that. I'm not 100% sure. I believe it is. Mm-hmm. His name is Elijah Diaz, but he goes by Bear. Bear. Most people in his family and his friends all know him as Bear.
Gotcha.
So, on August 29th, 2015, Bear was dropped off at his house by his mother around 10:30 p.m. His family had spent the day at a funeral that Bear couldn't attend due to his health problems.
What health problems?
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
So Bear suffered from type 1 diabetes, and his health was deteriorating rapidly.
Did it say why? Did he just not manage it, or?
I think he's just had it for a really long time. He had it from the time he was a child.
Yeah, cause that's the one you're born with, I believe, isn't it? Type 1?
I want to say yes.
Yeah.
I think he was around 6, don't quote me on that, when they found out that he had it.
Okay.
So he suffered with type 1 diabetes and his health was deteriorating rapidly. He had neuropathy in his feet, meaning he had sores and he had to walk with crutches. He had cataracts. And 6 weeks before he even went missing, he was faced with the possibility of amputation due to the neuropathy in his feet. Due to these conditions, he was unable to attend the funeral with his family. This made him very upset and discouraged because he was just really upset that his health was so bad that he couldn't even go to this sad event with his family.
Oh, whose sad event was this?
They said it was a family member.
They didn't specify.
No. Okay. I mean, I'm sure I could find that somewhere, but it's not entirely relevant.
Gotcha.
To the case.
Just make sure.
It's just important to know that he was upset that he couldn't even go to a funeral. You know what I mean?
Gotcha, yeah.
So, this made him really upset and discouraged, so his mom called to pick him up to spend more time with him and try and get him out of this, like, funk of being so depressed about
not being able to go and feeling upset with himself. And...
Right. So, once his mom picked him up and he was with the family, his mom noticed that he was really agitated by everything. Like, he was already upset that he couldn't go, and now he's just in a bad mood, and he's irritated. Like, the sound of the kids that are in his family playing was just, like, irritating him and making him angry. And so he was just like, you know what, take me home. So his mother, Leilani, she brought him home, and they had, like, sort of an argument. He was basically really upset about being so sick and saying that his mother didn't really get it and that people his age didn't have the same problems. All right. So Leilani tried to talk Bear into a better mood by suggesting that they get him enrolled in school for the upcoming year so that he had something to look forward to. After this, she left his house around 10:30 and headed home. When she got home, she texted Bear just to let him know that she was home safely. And he immediately responds, like, saying, like, good night, you know, whatever. The next day, on August 30th, 2015, Leilani sent Bear a couple of texts, but he didn't respond. Around 3:30 p.m., she shows up at his house to check on him. She lets herself in and doesn't find Bear anywhere. In his room, Leilani finds that his bedsheet and crutches are gone. His 50-inch TV is missing. His safe is open and empty. Along with that, a red and black backpack with what she assumes is about 2 to 3 weeks worth of medication is also gone. but his glasses and phone charger were left behind.
Sorry to interrupt. Does it anywhere say how bad his vision was?
Well, he had cataracts.
Oh, you're right. That's not a good sign.
So, like, he literally needs
those glasses. Okay.
Right. And, like, even though he has crutches, like, his mom even talked about how he, like, still had a hard time getting around, even with his crutches.
Oh. So, and he left them behind?
No, he had the crutches with him, but he didn't have his glasses.
Okay.
The whole point is that he's not very mobile.
Yeah.
So she was very worried that he was just nowhere to be seen.
And he's not very mobile, and now he doesn't have the one thing that helped him see.
Right.
Yeah.
So you already are not very mobile, and now you also can't see.
And somehow you took a TV?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So Leilani is really worried and goes and asks his roommate, like, where's Bear?
Yeah.
And he said that when he got home at 2 a.m., Bear's door was closed, so he just assumed that he was sleeping.
Okay.
It's 3:30 p.m. I mean, I know Bear was 20, and, you know, I get it. His health was not great, but, like, 3:30 from 2 in the morning to 3:30 p.m., they hadn't seen him. Okay, so at this point, his mom is extremely concerned for Bear because he's not very mobile, like we already established. He relies pretty much on his mom for a lot of his everyday activities. Like, not only that, but they were, like, super close. And he didn't really go anywhere without telling her, like, oh, I'm going to be at this person's house. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go over here.
Mm-hmm.
He can't even drive.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're not going to get far anyway.
Right.
But never mind with a backpack and a TV. And partially blind.
And his bed sheet.
And his bed sheet, which is horribly suspicious. Continue.
Exactly. All of it's very suspicious.
Yeah.
So, she's worried, but she also knows that he has a few doctor's appointments the next day, and he would never miss those because he's, like, really insistent on getting better because he's 20.
He's young. Yeah, he wants to be better.
So the next day rolls around, and she shows up to Bear's first appointment of the day. She waits, and she doesn't see him. So she asks the receptionist, hey, where's Bear? And she's like, oh, he didn't show up.
Mm.
So he had another appointment that day. She goes, and she's like, hey, where's Bear? Again, a no call, no show. So this is at the point where Leilani is fully panicked. She knows he would never miss his doctor appointments because he needs them to get better. And his health was so bad, he shouldn't be out alone.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go anywhere without telling her, like, what he's doing or where he's going to be.
Yeah.
So she does what any mother would do when her child's missing. She tries to go and report him to the police as a missing person.
Mm. Oh, wait. They're gonna be like, you have to wait 24 hours before you report a missing person.
Sort of. Okay. So she basically goes and she's like, hey, my son's missing. And they find out that he's a 20-year-old young adult. And they're like, he's allowed to be missing because he's an adult. And she's like, no, you really don't get it.
Did you know you're allowed to be missing, Kelsey?
Yes. I mean, you know.
I don't want to be allowed to be missing. I want someone to find my ass.
Exactly. But I think basically what they were saying was, like,
we can't do anything. You don't have jurisdiction over him. You're his mom, I understand, but he's over 18. Sorry.
Right.
Basically. Which is, I mean, both understandable and frustrating because just trust a mom to know her son.
Or just trust people to know their, like, loved ones.
Yeah,
you know what
family.
I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if I said, oh, my dad, who's, like, 54, is not showing up to his doctor appointments, they'd be like, oh no, he's 54, you can't.
He'll be okay.
Oh no.
But even, like, in this case, he is, like, his health is so poor
that they should be concerned.
Right. So again, his mom Leilani takes matters into her own hands and starts calling around to all of Bear's friends. Well, in the recent months, he started hanging out with a bunch of people at a hookah bar. And this hookah bar is near his house. He was doing his best to have a normal life. And since Bear is a member of the Barona Indian tribe.
I was gonna ask about that because I was getting some indigenous vibes.
Right. I'm trying to lead you into it. Let's make it a story.
Okay. You're enticing me. All right.
Anyways, so he's a part of the Barona Indian tribe, and so he receives a stipend every month from the reservation's casino. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all of the earnings from the casino, they basically split it up again amongst the other members of the tribe.
Wow, I didn't know that's how that worked.
I think it's dependent on
the reservation.
Right. I think it's just something they might do at this reservation. Gotcha. Other ones might do it. But specifically in his case. So basically, if these members are under the age of 18, they still get the money, but it goes into a trust fund until they're 18.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know. It like kind of sets them up for like...
Right? For success.
So he was so successful in his money. He was able to buy a house outright with cash.
You did say his house earlier, and I was like, boy's 20. Like, yeah. I'm 21. I don't have a house.
I know. Since he did have this house, he would invite friends from the hookah lounge over almost every night. So, like...
Oh, wow. Social.
Right, yeah. So, he was trying to do his best to, like, be a normal 20-year-old. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, when the bar or the hookah bar would close, everybody would just go to Bear's house and hang out. So, back to Leilani. She starts calling around to these friends that he had started hanging out with. But none of them seemed to know anything, even though that there were always people at his house.
That's weird.
Yeah. How do you just not know what happened to your friend?
Or, like, at least say, like, oh, I talked to him on Wednesday. That's the last time I talked to him. I don't know. But, like, you know.
But aside from them not knowing anything, she still is holding out hope, okay? Because soon their tribe was going to have their yearly powwow, and she knew that this was something that Bear always loved and was looking forward to. He was, like, really into their culture. Oh. And was, like, super excited for it. Oh. Well.
Don't tell me he doesn't show up.
Well, he doesn't show up. No. If he showed up, I feel like this would be a very short story.
I mean, like, well, maybe he had an amazing story to tell.
He had been on this travel. No, unfortunately. So eventually it's time for this powwow, and still Bear doesn't show up. At this point, he's been gone for a week, and his mom really fears the worst. She basically either thinks he was taken, or even worse, that he was murdered, and yikes. So she goes back to the police, and this time she's like, my son's been gone for a week.
Help.
Right. So they start an investigation. They find no signs of a struggle, and they try to take fingerprints, but due to there constantly being people in his house, like, when I say constantly, there were up to 5 people staying at his house. That's just aside from his roommates. Like, I think he had 2 roommates and then 5 other people.
Oh, jeez.
And they weren't ever, like, consistent. It was just, like, whoever.
Yeah, I mean, you said that once the hookah bar closed that he'd invite everyone back, so everyone and the mother could have been there at some point.
Right. So the police try his phone records, and phone records are usually, like, a pretty good place to, like, start researching into, because it was 2015, so at this point people are constantly having their phone on them. So what they find when they look into these phone records is that there was a data dump at 129 that same night that he was last seen. It was by the casino, which was weird because he doesn't live on the reservation. So
wait, let's back up for a second. A data dump. You mean like someone took like files from a computer and put them into like the recycling bin?
No, you probably recognize it as like a ping. It's so when your phone connects to like a tower.
Oh, they're pinging where his location was. Okay, right. I gotcha.
It's basically like hit. That's where his phone connected to a tower.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then they notice another ping 29 minutes later at the foot of Santa Isabella Mountains, which is 40 minutes from his home.
Quick question. You might not know the answer, and that's okay. A foot of a mountain sounds remote to me. Like, that doesn't sound like it's near anything.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay. That gives me bad vibes. I don't know if it gives anyone else bad vibes. It gives me bad vibes.
Well, and it's also even more disturbing because it's 29 minutes later, 40 miles away.
Yeah.
that time frame unless you were like booking it.
Wait, yeah. No, that's weird.
And also, Bear can't drive. I mean, he doesn't drive.
Yeah.
He has crutches. So it's not like he's, you know, walking somewhere. Yeah, and then, especially that quickly.
Yeah.
So at this point, police plan to go search this area. And when they get there, they find that the area is so overgrown and rural. That's a hard word to say. Rural.
You got it.
That they can't even search it on foot. Yikes. And I watched a documentary about this on the ID channel. And one of the police officers was talking about how his car, like when they were trying to search around the area, his car almost got stuck because that's how like dense
it was.
Right. So they decide they're going to send helicopters over the area. And when the helicopters are going past, they find nothing, basically. And along with finding nothing, they find out that the wildlife in that area is so active with like mountain lions and coyotes that even if somebody had even went there on foot, they most likely wouldn't survive due to, like, the animal population.
Wow.
Yeah. Yikes.
Wait, what state is this in?
It's in California.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can see that. All right.
So, to this day, that's pretty much it on the investigation. That's all the information that we really have. But there are a few theories.
I was going to say, you got to give me something else.
And I repeat, these are theories, not facts. So I was looking on like Web Sleuths and which I don't know if everybody knows what that is. Web Sleuths is kind of like a forum, sort of like Reddit, where people who are interested in stuff like this, they like come together and they talk about specific cases.
Okay. Before we go into their theories, I have a tiny theory of my own.
Okay, sure.
So the only thing I can think, there is no way that this 20-year-old with horribly, horribly affected feet that is going to leave with a probably 20-plus pound cumbersome TV,
right,
a bed sheet, and his backpack, and then go to where he went in a short amount of a time that he did without some assistance. So one, someone knows something. And two, someone was either helping him or hurting him during this time.
Right.
And I very much lean towards the latter, because if they were helping him, we wouldn't be talking about him. Right. You know, he would reemerge somewhere with some James John in Nevada would emerge with these similar medical characteristics, and that has not happened.
Right.
So, I feel like maybe he invited someone in, because you said he was inviting people over from the hookah bar like every night.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that almost seems like overcompensation socially. Like, he wants so hard to be normal. He wants so badly to be a normal 20-year-old kid that he is just, come on over. Everyone just come on over. And maybe he invited the wrong person into his home. Mm-hmm. And they saw this big TV. And they saw a guy who is not going to fight back.
Right.
And took advantage of him. And I don't know why they would take the backpack. I have some suspicions as to why they'd take the bed sheet. But I don't know if they did luminol testing.
They did. Okay, so basically from the luminol testing, there were just like a few hot spots. But they weren't like significant is what I found. Basically not enough. Well, the police wrote it off as if he had, like, hurt himself at some point. But he also did have sores.
That's true.
So I don't know if that's, like, what they were attributing it to. Yeah.
I think it also matters, like, the locale of the hot spots. You know, like, if it was near the foot of his bed, then it's like, oh, he's bleeding in his sleep at night. You know what I mean? If it's, like, on the floor on a dish or something, it's like,
Well, you know? The funny part is they only decided to check his room for luminol, but not any of the rest of the house, which to me, I think is kind of screwed up.
But yeah, I think that's a little bit of a misstep, but
I think I don't want to say screw up because that's an intense word, but that's what I'm going to say. A screw up on the police's part. And they only, like, why would you check only his room for the luminol, but not anywhere else where there's people frequenting? You know what I mean?
My thing is, like, there's, there, if, hmm, if there are, if there's evidence in the room, then there it and there's not a door to the outside in his room, mm-hmm. that literally leads you to the conclusion that whoever planted or whoever made the evidence that you're studying went through the rest of the house. So you have to check the rest of the house, at least in my head.
Yep. I mean, that I feel like that's a very normal conclusion to come to. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Apparently it's not, but...
But, like, I checked multiple sources and it said that they didn't check for the rest of the house. And, I mean, I'm not going to say 100% because I guarantee there's probably more research to be done about this. Mm-hmm. But on the ID channel, on other sources, all of them said that they only checked his room, which is, like I said, to me, seems like a screw up on their part.
Yeah, a little bit.
So... That being said, would you like to hear some of the theories?
Love to.
Okay. So, like I said, web sleuths, somebody on there suggests that there was a possibility a friend helped him assist with committing suicide.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Which, okay, so his family was highly adamant that he would never do something like this. But... I could see how this could happen because, first of all, he's a 20-year-old guy. He's basically doing everything he can to have friends and have a normal life, yet he just keeps getting held back by his, like, illness. Mm-hmm. And, like, the day he went missing, however you want to say that, he just had, like, a really bad day, you know what I mean? Like, he couldn't even go to a funeral.
Yeah.
How depressing is that?
Yeah.
And then he got into a fight with his mom, who he's very close to. Like, it's just, I could just see how this would be an issue. And also, along with that, like, he had just lost his stepbrother to suicide a year before.
Oh.
Right.
So was that his, so did his mother remarry? That was his stepbrother from that union? Or is it his father? Because I feel like that matters just because of how close he was to his mother.
I can't remember. Okay. It didn't seem super
important.
Yeah. I'm sure it was. I do know that his parents are separated.
Okay.
His mom is remarried now. I don't know if she was remarried like at the time of this happening. I believe his dad was remarried.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and in my head say that it was maybe the father's stepson.
Well, they said that they were really close.
Maybe not.
So but he was older than Bear, and so that is kind of an important thing to know, is that he watched his stepbrother, you know what I mean?
Yeah, go through mental turmoil to the nth degree.
So I think that the assisted suicide could be a very plausible explanation, but... Why was the safe open?
Why was the TV missing?
Why was the TV missing? Why was the sheet gone? Missing?
Why would you? To me, the sheet screams foul play.
Right.
It just, because there's no other reason you'd take a sheet unless you wanted to wrap the TV in it, in which case a burglary. But still, that means someone else is in there interfering with his life, you know?
I just don't see it being like a burglary, as you say, because there's always so many people in the house.
Exactly, exactly. And I mean the burglary as in like, you know,
one
not
of
like,
those kids that was there, or
I mean like less like break into the house with black and white stripes and more just like saw an opportunity and took it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, moving from there, there's another theory. It suggests that it was because of the money. His mother estimated that he had roughly $7,000 in that safe. And on top of that, he was getting monthly checks of around $7,000 to $10,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was also described as being very generous with his money and spent a lot of it on his friends. He just also spent a lot of money in general because he's a 20-year-old boy.
With all this money.
Right.
That's a lot of money to be getting every month.
Right. And, I mean, we also don't know how much he had in his bank account that he came into at the age of 18.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Enough to buy a house. So he bought a few cars. I think they said he had three cars.
Few cars.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that crazy? Wow. He had multiple TVs in the house. I would imagine if the one in his bedroom was a 50-inch, probably the living room probably had a, was large. And he had gaming systems like Xboxes and stuff like that. So this is sort of similar to what you're talking about with some, like basically a crime of convenience.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's possible that somebody saw this and decided that they wanted that kind of money for themselves and maybe snuck in that night and had Bear open his safe, like kind of like threatened him and had him open his safe and then did something to hurt him.
Yeah.
That could have explained like the sheet. They could have wrapped him up in his sheet and taken him somewhere to dump him. But this also doesn't really explain why the backpack of medicine was gone. And also his crutches. So if somebody were to surprise him and attack him, why would they take this stuff that makes it seem like he's still alive? And if it was also because of the money, his bank accounts also haven't been accessed.
See, the confusing thing to me is that we're getting almost two completely different signals here. Like, we're getting things that have been taken that only he would take, like his crutches, like his medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting also things that he would not need to take with him if they, like, at all, like his television. And thanks, Bixby. God, I hate Bixby so much. If you have Bixby on your phone, do everything you can to uninstall it.
Yeah, but back to what you were saying, like, I agree. It's a lot of, like, mixed signals. It's like, okay, medicine and crutches, those are, you know, very important to his day-to-day activities. But there was no glasses. So you think if he would take his medicine and his crutches, he would need to be able to see wherever he was going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I almost get the feeling that someone, either he was not deceased, or someone expected him to revive, or someone did not want him entirely dead and took things that thought may prolong him being, like, I don't know if they wanted to get into his bank accounts. I don't know if it was just a crime of opportunity. Here's this disabled man that we can take advantage of, take his belongings, get him to open the safe, grab his crutches because he's going to need those, and let's get out of here. And did that, and something went wrong, or they had plans to kill him all along. They just wanted to keep him alive for a long time. I don't know. I have no idea. But there are certain things that make me think that he just did not leave of his own accord.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a part of that, even if they wanted to keep him alive and, like, take advantage of him, they never accessed his bank account at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Which is crazy, unless they were just, like, $7,000, that's good enough for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, like, I guess, like, $1,000 TV at the time or something like that. You know, I don't even know. When what year was this?
This is 2015.
Okay. So that, I mean, it probably wouldn't even be $1,000. It would have been off there.
Still, does somebody's life equal $7,000 to $8,000?
No, obviously not. Obviously to someone, but obviously not in general.
The last theory that I'm going to read to you is that perhaps Bear had decided to go somewhere that night and just came across somebody with malicious intent. And the drifters in his house realized, oh, he's probably not coming back, and decided to steal his TV. But again, that doesn't explain the sheet or the safe or the fact that he didn't have his glasses or a phone charger. It's honestly so frustrating because it's like there's all of these possibilities, but they all kind of contradict each other. You know what I mean?
You said they pinged his phone. So did they ever recover his phone?
No.
So they pinged it to its last location, but theoretically it could have died there.
Yeah.
And it could have been taken somewhere else after it was dead.
Yeah, it could have just been turned off completely.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Or destroyed. So, also, here's a fun fact. I found at the end of the That was English.
Yep, you got it.
A fun fact I found at the end of my research, his mom said that when she left his house most days, he would ask her to lock him in his room on her way out.
What?
So why would he be scared to be in his own house? Like, she would be leaving, he would just be like, lock your door, or lock the door behind you on your way out, like his room.
Huh.
What's that about?
That's a little interesting.
It is. It is kind of interesting. That's even what his mom was saying. Like, why would he be scared in his own house?
You know, it kind of makes me wonder if everything being missing it wasn't all taken from the same incident,
if that makes sense. Like, it's not all related to his disappearance. It's just, yes, like, these things just happen to go missing in his house because there's all these kids coming in and out.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's locking his door, because he's afraid that people are going to steal his stuff.
Well, she was locking him in.
That makes me think he feels threatened, but I don't know.
That, I mean, what you just said about maybe, like, things going missing was a normal occurrence. I actually hadn't seen anybody else come to that conclusion, so I think it's really interesting that you point that out. Because now that you say that, it does make a lot of sense. Like, maybe he's just used to this happening because there are people coming in and out of his house, and he doesn't really care because he's got money, but he's not going to, like,
replace it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
maybe.
That's kind of interesting.
I also, like, the last theory, I think, I feel like that there is no reason for that bed sheet to be missing other than if he was doing laundry or if there was something on the bed sheet that someone did not, or something someone wanted to wrap up in the bed sheet that someone didn't.
Or it just had some form of evidence
on it that no one wanted to be found. And I feel like I almost feel like that might be unrelated to the valuables going missing, just because, I don't know, I feel like you'd have to have several people to pull this off if it's what I'm thinking of. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. And, I mean, I think, like I said, it's so frustrating because it's like all of these things are contradictory, but then they are kind of explain it.
Yeah. But you can speculate.
Right.
But there's nothing that's concrete. There's no evidence. It's almost like, I don't know. I have read a lot about cases of missing, especially women, but a missing indigenous people, and how poorly they're investigated.
Mm-hmm.
And it appalls me to, like, my core, because a lot of them are women, but there are men just like Bear I don't feel like he's been given a fair shake investigatively.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this is a random inquiry, but did they ever use, like, dogs with his scent ever?
I believe that they did, and they didn't find anything,
like, near the mountain. Nothing.
I don't know about the mountain. I think the mountain was too overgrown.
Oh, they couldn't run the dogs,
because they were saying, like, in the, like I said, in the documentary episode, they were talking about how they couldn't even search on foot because it was so heavily overgrown.
Which makes me think no one in their right mind would go there.
Unless they were going to dump something?
Unless they were going to dump something no one would find.
Right.
Which,
Or they were hoping that the animal life would
take care of it.
That's... I think when they first talked about that, about it being at this area where there was such, like, a large amount of animal life that were, like, mountain lions and coyotes, that was my first thought.
There's not going to be any evidence because nature.
Which is really morbid.
It's really morbid, but I mean, as far as for a criminal, I suppose it's intelligent, but
it's frustrating for his mom because she probably won't ever have
closure,
a body to bury. I know that was really morbid, but you know what I mean? Like, she's probably not going to have closure in that way of knowing where he is, if that makes sense.
Because at this point, there's no logical conclusion to come to other than the fact that he is most likely not living.
Right.
Because he needed that medicine. He needed to see those doctors that knew about him. And he already had, like you said at the beginning, a lifespan that didn't look the longest. You know, he needed medical care.
Yeah, and he was, his health, I mean, it was deteriorating pretty rapidly, like.
Which makes the first theory, you know, makes you want to look back at the maybe assisted suicide theory. But then, at the same time, was there a friend that he was that close to, you know?
None of them really, you know, came out and gave...
volunteered information.
Any kind of information that was helpful.
Please tell me they at least interrogated everyone in the house that lived in the house.
They tried, but like I said, most of these kids were just like, I don't know. You know what I mean? And also, I don't have this in my notes, but I did come across this somewhere else. Actually, it was in that documentary. I know I keep referencing it. But his mom said that she had to legally, like, get legal action to kick the people out of his house. So, as he's missing, he's been gone, like, been missing, his mother has to go and get, take legal action to kick these kids out of his house.
Just, they're just stragglers? Just people just living in his house? His roommates and
stragglers.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's a really big sign also that they were kind of okay with, like, taking advantage.
Taking what isn't theirs, which I think is a very huge red flag. Mm-hmm. I feel like anyone with half a hemisphere of a brain would understand that.
Or a heart.
Yeah, would understand that that means... that they're okay with, like you said, taking advantage of someone. And that, to me, does not bode well in a possible foul play situation.
Right. Even if they're not taking advantage of Bear in general, they're taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, so, which is gross. Don't do that.
All of it's pretty gross.
All of it's pretty gross, yeah.
So, to kind of conclude here, we might not ever really know what happens unless there's more evidence found or somebody comes forward.
And that's where you guys come in. So if anyone knows anything about Bear, about anything about this indigenous tribe in particular, about the area that he was in, about the specific mountain.
There, you can report to sdcrimestoppers.org. And I believe you can even give an anonymous tip as well. But along with that, his mom actually has a Facebook page called Bring Bear Diaz Home. Yeah, and at the beginning of November, she actually posted about it being 4 years since he's disappeared.
Oh, I'm not sure if she'll ever have Bear back, and I'm not sure if there's anything that any of us can do to fix that for her, but at least to have some closure on the end of the legacy that was Bear would be something that could at least help her rest easy at night.
But I think that's it. Anything else you'd like to add?
Nothing other than that, just make sure that you post the Crime Stoppers link.
Yes.
Because I am a very big believer in Crime Stoppers. If you guys don't know anything about Crime Stoppers, I definitely encourage you to look them up because they are not a government-sponsored organization. They are completely volunteer-based. And I think they do very important work. So... if you know anything about Bear, contact Crime Stoppers, put in a tip. And that's pretty much all I've got to say, I think.
I think that's all I've got.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, we appreciate it. And
if you've gotten this far, I commend you.
Yeah, it was probably pretty painful there for a little bit, but if you happen to enjoy this...
and want some more.
We are going to be working on more cases. Yeah, so... I think that's it.
That's it.
Thanks. Bye.
I had a hiccup. Sorry. I like that you're going to have to go through this and hear yourself hiccup.
Oh, shit.